السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
آمين وإياكم. يوسف، how are you going؟
نعم يا شيخنا، نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، in the continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we are on Hadith 252 under the chapter heading Bab al-Dahik, the chapter about laughter. Bab al-Dahik, the chapter regarding what has been reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions regarding laughter. How should a Muslim laugh? Is it allowed at all in our Sharia to laugh? And that is after, in the previous classes, we discussed Al-Inbisatu ila Nas, being cheerful with the people. Under that chapter, the narrations under it showed that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged the Muslim an yukhalita an-nas wa an yasbira ala azab. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged us all to mix up with the people, to relate with the people, to come down to the level of the people. Wa an na'fu anhum, we should overlook the faults of the people. We should be patient over their faults. If we do not become people who overlook the faults of the people, it will be difficult for us to relate with them. And the Messenger had told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the believer who relates with the people, wa yasbiru ala azahum, and is patient over the kinds of insults, sometimes abuses or indecencies that he may face from them, khayrun min alladhi la yukhalituhum wa la yasbiru ala azahum, is better than the one who would not relate with them at all. So he has not any need to be patient over some indecent speech or action from them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to relate to the people, to be cheerful with the people, to be pleasant to the people, not to return evil for evil. And that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, la yakunu fazlan ghalizan sakhaban, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was not vulgar in his speech when he spoke to the people. He was not coarse in his character alayhi salatu wasalam. Neither was he the kind of a person who goes about shouting sakhaban, making loud noise, shouting down the people when he spoke. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was not upon all this. And from that, he did not use to do alayhi salatu wasalam is that la yattabi'u ribata fi nas. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam did not use to cast aspersion to the people, casting an aspersion, giving, suspecting someone of evil and believing that the person is evil, and then acting, relating with him upon that suspicion. This is really bad. You suspected him, and you are relating with him upon that suspicion. Suspicion is bad. Bad character is bad. So as you would not want the people to suspect you and think evil of you, don't suspect and think evil of your brother without clear-cut proof. Don't say that you are an intuitive person. Don't say that you are an emotionally intelligent person if you don't have clear-cut proof regarding what your brother has done. It is wrong and not from the deen to do that. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, who he alayhi salatu wasalam, la yattabi'u arribata finnas. I will not go on looking for faults, suspecting faults to the people, and then ascribing those faults to them, and then relating with them as if those faults were real. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, and it's worthy of note, that when you begin to suspect people, when you begin to cast aspersion with people and relate with them in that manner, you end up destroying those people. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam, that la attabi'u ribata fihim fa afsadahum. I wouldn't go on suspecting the people and relating with them upon suspicion, fa afsadahum, so that I do not destroy them. May Allah protect each and every one of us. From that we came to the issues of smiling, at-tabassum. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, said, ma ra'ani rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam mundu aslamtu illa tabassama fi wajhi. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam never saw me since I accepted Islam except he would smile to my face. He would be smiling in his countenance alayhi salatu wasalam. And our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, he explained how the Messenger used to smile. Said, ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ضاحكا قط. I never saw the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام laughing at all. حتى أرى منه لهواته. He would not spark smile to such an extent that أرى منه لهواته. I would begin to see the upper parts of his mouth. The Messenger did not used to smile, laugh like that at all. The Messenger will not laugh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so deeply that he will now open his mouth in laughter. He did not do that at all. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innama kana yatabassam. He would alayhi salatu wa sallam only give a smile. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the question would arise, is it now unlawful for us to laugh at all? Is it unlawful for the Muslim to laugh at all? So we address this matter, inshallah, under Babu Dhahik, the chapter about laughter. However, we would understand from the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she said, ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضحكا قط حتى أرى منه لهواته, that he would not laugh so much that I would see the upper parts of his mouth, radiallahu anha. She said that having to do with the way of laughter, the manner of the laughter. He will not laugh in such a manner that he will open his mouth, and then I begin to see the upper parts of his throat area. He will not do that. So this is about the how of the laughter. He will not laugh like that. This does not mean that he did not used to laugh at all, alayhi salatu wasalam. So don't laugh in such a manner that the entirety of the mouth is open. Ha ha, we know that laughter. Don't laugh like that. Why? The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, would not laugh like that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innama kana yatabassamu. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only used to give a smile. And that itself has a time. When he saw the clouds of rains gathering, alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw that the wind was blowing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his countenance would change. So here, Babu Dhahik, the chapter about laughter. How does a Muslim laugh? Should you laugh frequently? These are the issues we will address this chapter. And we will understand from all of these, as we have said, that being a person of sunnah, being a person of deen, does not mean that you should not keep a good countenance. Sometimes, like we had said earlier, some of our brothers think that the more you keep a frowning face, the more your righteousness. That in fact, an indication of righteousness is that you don't laugh at all. We understand from all of these that this is not from the sunnah at all. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to smile, and he called smiling from the aspects of sadaqah. So here we'll be talking about laughter, babu dhahik, ad-dhahik. We're talking about ad-dhahik. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions the hadith from hadith 252. Rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Sulaiman ibn Dawood. Haddathana Sulaiman ibn Dawood, Abu Rabi'a. Qala haddathana Ismail ibn Zakariya. Qala haddathana Abu Raja'a. عن برد أم مقهول عن واثلة ابن الأسقى عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أقل الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك تميت القلب قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أقل الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك تميت القلب. الإمام البخاري رواه في حديث من الشيخ سليمان بن داود أبو الربيع. And the Imam Sulaiman ibn Dawood was from amongst the scholars of Qira'at, those who mastered the recitation of the Quran, and at the same time, they were specialists in the science of hadith. They combined the speciality in the sciences of reciting the Quran. They also combined that with speciality in the science of reporting the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Dawood, Abu Rabi', he also has a book that he had compiled regarding a hadith, regarding the science of recitals of the Quran. And the likes of Al-Imam Muslim, Al-Imam Abu Dawood, the author of As-Sunan, and Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, we are students of Sulaiman ibn Dawood, Abu Rabi', and from amongst the students was Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. So he is Sulaiman ibn Dawood, Abu Rabi' al-Basri rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Ismail ibn Zakariya. Ismail ibn Zakariya, the Shaykh of Imam al-Bukhari's Shaykh, he is Abu Ziyad. Ismail ibn Zakariya, he is Abu Ziyad al-Kufi rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Abu Raja. Abu Raja, he is Abu Raja ibn Abdullah al-Bajali rahimahullah. And he is reporting from Burd ibn Sinan al-Dimashqi. Burd ibn Sinan al-Dimashqi was a great scholar of hadith. He has four great students from amongst his students. He has As-Sufyan, the two imams whose names were Sufyan. That was Sufyan al-Thawri and Sufyan ibn Uyayna. They were from the students of Burd ibn Sinan. And he had Hammadan, the two Hammads, that's Hammad ibn Zayd and Hammad ibn Salama. If you are a teacher to any one of these four great scholars of Islam, it suffices as evidence for the huge, tremendous knowledge that the person has. Not to say combined between these four. He is a teacher to Sufyan al-Thawri, he is a teacher to Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he is a teacher to Hammad ibn Zayd. He was also the teacher to Hammad ibn Salama. That is Burd ibn Sinan, al-Dimashqi, Abu al-Ala. He is reporting from the teacher of the people of Sham, Maqhul al-Shami. Maqhul al-Shami was a known tabi'i from amongst the scholars, and he reported a hadith from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is one of them. He is reporting this hadith from Wafila ibn al-Asqa. Wafila ibn al-Asqa al-Dimashqi radiyallahu anhu was a young companion when the Prophet passed away alayhi salatu wasalam. He was just about 8 years old. Wafila ibn al-Asqa was just about 8 years old when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam passed away. Wa kana min fuqara'i al-muslimin. He was from amongst the poor Muslims when the Prophet was alive. alayhi salatu wasalam. So Wasila ibn al-Afqah, he used to stay with Abu Huraira in As-Siffa. So they were those who were referred to as Ahlu Siffa. They had a place which was a height in the direction of the Qibla of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where they kept their belongings because they did not have a house to stay in Medina. They came to learn from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were living in the masjid of the Prophet. One of them was also Abu Huraira. So they had opportunities to stay with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hear lessons from him. Some of them went back to their people to teach, and some of them got spread across the world as the companions spread after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for Wasila ibn al-Asfa, Allah blessed him with a long life. He is akhiru man mata fi Dimashq min as-sahaba, the last companion who died in Damascus amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Wasila ibn al-Asqa. Wasila ibn al-Asqa was the last companion who passed away in Damascus. And you know, this is well known amongst the scholars. They knew the last companion who died everywhere. In Medina, it was Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. Akhiru man mata min as-sahabati fil Madinah. The last companion who died in Medina was Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. Rahimahullah. He lived for so long, radiyallahu anhu. And the last companion who died in Mecca was Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar was akhiru man mata bi Mecca. So they are this well known amongst the companions. They knew in the various cities who was the companions who died last amongst companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last of them, generally speaking, who passed away was Abu Tufayl. The last companion who died, radiallahu anhu, was Abu Tufayl. He died in the 100th year of Hijrah. Radiallahu anhum, these were the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Wasila ibn al-Asqa is reporting this hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Wasila ibn al-Asqa is reporting this hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. This is riwayah to Sahabi and Sahabi. One companion reporting a hadith from another companion. And this is a lot. There are a lot of this. There are a lot of ahadith Abdullah ibn Abbas would report from the rest of the companions. Radiallahu anhum. Wasila ibn al-Afqa is reporting this hadith from Abu Huraira. This is the report of a companion from another companion. Is a companion of this hadith, Abu Huraira, and he is taking that hadith from Wasila ibn al-Asqa is taking that hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Now there's an issue we can discuss here, inshallah. If Wasila ibn al-Asqa reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, if Wasila ibn al-Asqa hearing the hadith from Abu Huraira, and then radiallahu anhu, and then he reports it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without mentioning Abu Huraira, this kind of a report is called Mursal al-Sahabi. This kind of a report is called Mursal al-Sahabi. The companion reporting that hadith direct from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was not the one who heard it directly from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that was why you would see Abdullah ibn Abbas reporting a hadith regarding al-Isra wal-Miraj when he was a very young boy at the time. The ulama have mentioned there are a lot of ahadith in Abbas reported that were from Marasil al-Sahaba, the companion reporting from another companion, a companion. For example, you can find Abdullah ibn Abbas reporting issues that had happened in the first, second, third year of Hijrah. He had definitely heard it from Kibar al-Sahaba, from the elders amongst the companions. And because the companions did not used to doubt themselves, they did not used to doubt their reports, and the fact that all of them were Udu, reliable, trustworthy reporters. So he would report it directly from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he will employ an expression that showed that he was not the one who heard it, like saying, "Call the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this kind of circumstances, in Mursal al-Sahabi, the Sahabi would not say, "Sami'tu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He would only say, "Sami'tu" when he heard. He would only say, "Sami'tu" when he heard. If he did not hear, he could narrate. If it was an incident, he will narrate the incident. If it was a statement, he can say, "Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," even though he had heard that hadith from a companion. Wasila ibn al-Afqa heard this hadith from Abu Huraira. So what he has done here is asnadana. He made isnad. He mentioned from where he had heard that hadith from amongst the companions. That was from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So Wafila ibn al-Asqa is reporting this hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So if you go to Musnad Ahmad, for example, where the hadith of each companion is stated, you will find this hadith in the Musnad of who? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Unless we find Wafila saying that he also heard. Perhaps he had heard it firstly from Abu Huraira, and then later on, he also had the opportunity of hearing it directly from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the kinds of interesting issues we find when you study the chains of report of a hadith. This hadith, Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aqilla al-dhahik. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aqilla al-dhahik. Laugh a little. Make your laughter to be little. Aqil, make it qaleel. Aqilla al-dhahik. Laugh only a little. Fa inna kathrat al-dhahik tumitul qalb. Because laughing muchly, kathrat al-dhahik, much of laughter, tumitul qalb. It kills the soul. It kills the mind of the individual. The mind becomes deadened when laughter is much. So the first point of reference here, first point of benefit we pick here is that our laughter should be few, should be little. Yes, we laugh, but it should be little. Don't be a person who laughs all the time. Inna kathrat al-dhahik tumitul qalb. Because much of laughter will destroy the soul. So فَأَقِلُّ الدَّحِكِ. So make your laughing, make it little. Don't make the laughter all the time. So we add a second benefit to the issue of laughter. Don't laugh so much that you open the mouth laughing. The Messenger did not used to do that. Don't open your mouth ha 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 laughing so much that the inner parts of the mouth are seen. Don't laugh like that. The second thing about laughter is when you now really laugh without opening the mouth so largely, laugh it a little. Make the laughter little. Why? فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِتُ الْقَلْبِ. Because muchly laughing destroys much laughter. Laughing, 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 laughing. It will destroy the soul. So there's a question here. What does destroying the soul mean? What does deadening the soul, what does it mean? The ulama say, تَجْعَلُهُ قَاسِيًا كَثْرَةُ الضَّحِكِ تَجْعَلُ الْقَلْبِ قَاسِيًا. Much laughing, laughing all the time. It will make the heart to be hard. It will make your heart to be hard. لا يتأثر بالمواعظ. It will not have mawa'iz, lessons, sermons, admonitions. The heart will not take lessons if you make it. It will not take admonitions if you make it a laughing heart. Admonitions will not have impacts on the soul. You'll be listening to sermons, but your soul will not feel anything. You'll be listening to very, very powerful, mind-touching sermons, heart-softening sermons, but you will not feel anything. Why? you laughed too much and you had killed your soul. You had deadened the soul like a dead person. If we have a Muslim who passes away, and you begin to say to that dead Muslim, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun, does he hear you? Does he benefit from that summer? Will he hear you and say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Will he say, oh, jazakallahu khairan to you after the summer? So just as the dead person will not benefit from your summons, the same way your heart will not benefit from summons if you make it a heart that's always laughing and becomes dead as a result of laughter. So don't be the laughing Muslim. Don't be the one who is yuksiru dahik. He laughs. He gives to laughter all the time. He's laughing all the time. So don't laugh all the time. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aqilla dahik, reduce laughter. Reduce your laughter. So we can laugh. But one, the laughter should not be a laughter that we open the entirety of our mouth and laugh so much that the inner parts of our mouth are saying, don't laugh like this. The second thing about laughter, make your laughter little. Make them little when you laugh. I think this will suffice for Hadith 252 that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aqill al-dahik, fa inna kathrat al-dahik, tumitul qalb. Laugh only a little. Fa inna kathrat al-dahik, tumitul qalb. Because much of laughter makes your soul to become a dead soul. We can come to Hadith 253. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا أبو بكر الحنفي قال حدثنا عبد الحميد بن جعفر عن إبراهيم بن عبد الله عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لا تكثروا الضحك لا تكثروا الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك لا تكثر الضحك. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن بشار. الإمام محمد بن بشار, for the students who are conversant with the names of the scholars of hadith, that is Al-Imam Bundar. This word we say it a lot. What does Bundar mean? Bundar, what does it mean? Bundar was a nickname for Muhammad ibn Bashar. And it refers to a trader who has a lot of commodity to sell. He has a trader. He has a lot of commodity. You are selling tomatoes. You are selling shoes. He has a stockpile of shoes. So when the people are in need of shoes, he begins to give them shoes. He sells his shoes at the need of the people. So why was Muhammad ibn Ja'far or Muhammad ibn Bashar, why was he referred to as Bundar? The ulama say لأنه كان بندار الحديث في عصره ببلده. لأنه كان بندار الحديث في عصره ببلده. Because he was the bundar of hadith. What does that mean? He was the stockpile of hadith. He had a stockpile of ahadith in his town and in his place. Where he lived in his time, he was the bundar. He was the resort. When anybody wanted an explanation regarding a hadith, he went to Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Bashar. He was bundar. Why? He has a lot of reports. He knows the reports in the text, and he knows those who have reported the ahadith. He knows the rijal, he knows the mutun. So he was a resort. People went back to him to get explanations for a hadith, to understand whether a hadith was sahih or not. So he used to be referred to as what? Bundar. لماذا? لأنه كان بندار أهله بندار أهل بلده في وقته. Because he was the bundar of his people regarding a hadith in his time. رحمه الله. And he happens to be one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. From the things we should know about al-Imam Bunda rahimahullah, was that all the scholars of the six books of hadith report a hadith from him in their books. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported from him in Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Muslim reported from him in Sahih Muslim. Likewise, the scholars, the A'immatul Kutubi Sitta, they all reported a hadith in their books of Sunan. From who? Muhammad ibn Bashar Bundar. Rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi. Al-Imam Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi, they were two amongst the scholars of hadith in the past who used to be referred to as Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi. There was Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi al-Kabir, and there was Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi al-Sadir. There was Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi al-Sadir. There was also Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi al-Kabir. Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi in this isnad is al-Sadir, and his name is Abdul Kabir ibn Abdul Majid. Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi. Here he is Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi al-Sadir, and his name is Abdul Kabir ibn Abdul Majid. As for Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi al-Kabir, his name is Abdullah. But this Abu Bakrin al-Hanafi, he is what? Abdul Kabir ibn Abdul Majid. He is reporting from Abdul Hamid ibn Ja'far, who is reporting from Ibrahim ibn Abdullah, the tabi'i of this hadith, reporting from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal, la tukthiru al-dahik, la tukthiru al-dahik, don't give much laughter. In the first report from Wasila ibn al-Asqa, and you can see the isnad is different. It means it's a widely known report. You can see the isnad, two different chains of reports. The other one says, Aqill al-dahik, give little laughter, laugh only little. This one says, La tukthiru, don't be laughing too much. So you can see in their meanings, they are the same. In their ma'na, they are the same. But in their loves, they are different. The loves is aqill in the first one, make it little. In the second one, it says, La tukthir, don't make it much. So don't make your laughter much. La tukthiru al-dahik, don't make your laughter much. Apart from these two reports from Abu Huraira about not laughing much, with these two separate isnad, I came across other asanid from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also warned that we should laugh only little. One of them was from Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, and it was reported by Imam ibn Majah in his Sunnah. In that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the people. So he came to them and said, alayhi salatu wa salam, man ya'akhuz anni khamsa, faya'amalu biha, aw faya'amalu bihinna, wa yu'allimu man ya'amal bihinna. Who will take five things from me, five lessons from me? فَيَعْمَلْ بِهِنَّ He will act upon those five things. وَيُعَلِّمُ أَوْ يُعَلِّمُ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ بِهِنَّ And then he will teach the people, he will teach those who will act by it. فَقَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ So Abu Huraira raised up his hand and said, I, messenger of Allah, I. So he picked him. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ We know how Abu Huraira was ever craving, seeking good knowledge from the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So whenever things like this come up, you see Abu Huraira coming in front. Says, Ay ya Rasulallah. The first thing the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. Ittaqil maharim. Avoid things that Allah has prohibited. Takun a'badan nas. You will be from the most serving of the slaves of Allah. Your servitude of Allah will be in a high degree. If you do what? Ittaqil maharim. If you know that Allah has prohibited something, avoid it. Where will it get? Where will that get you? You become one of the best servants of Allah. Ittaqil maharim. Takum a'badan nas. The second thing the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Warda bima qasam Allahu laka takum agna nas. be pleased with what Allah has given you from wealth, from sustenance. Takum adna nas. You'll be from the richest of the people. Because one of the things that would happen to you is that you will not be going to the people begging them. So be pleased with the little that you have. It's one of the generational problems we have. We have a problem in these times because the people are not pleased with the little they have. You have a little, be pleased with it. If you are pleased with this little, this is a real richness. Being pleased with the little you have. Being pleased with whatever little you have. Be pleased with it. Let it suffice you. If you seek more, now, good. That more is part of what you seek. It's not unlawful to seek more wealth. But if you don't have that pleasure over whatever happens, whatever comes to you, you are not pleased with it. Then if you have the entirety of this world, you will not be pleased with it. You will not have self-what? Self-what? Contentment. You don't have, you are not, if you have the entirety of this world, you will not be pleased with it. If you are not pleased with the little you earn, you have lawfully now, the crave to have it all, by all means, will lead you into things that you never think that you can get to. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So that was the second thing the Prophet said to me. I think I should proceed because of that. The last thing he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is, wala tukthiru dahk, wala tukthiru dahik. Don't be laughing muchly. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكْ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Because much of laughter destroys the soul. This hadith occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. It also occurs in the Sunan of Al-Imam Ibn Majah, rahimahullah. If you go back to this hadith, you find then the chains of report are different from this one. It means it was something Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu regularly told the people from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here in our book, Hadith 253, Abu Huraira said, radiallahu anhu, la tukthiru al-dahik, O people, don't be laughing muchly. La tukthiru. Don't make your laughter much. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Because muchly laughing will destroy the soul. Laughing muchly. It will destroy your soul. When you laugh much, the soul will be destroyed. What does it mean that a person has a destroyed soul? That soul will not be responding to summons, no matter how much that summon is soft and inviting and touching. It will not touch him. Why? He has a dead soul. Why did his soul die? He kept too much in laughing. When he laughs, he would open his mouth, ha, 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 ha. Laughing like that. This is prohibited. Don't laugh such that you'll be laughing all the time. The Prophet has said, alayhi salatu wasalam, don't laugh much. In the first report, he said, reduce your laughter. Because laughing much deadens the soul. There's another point of benefit in this hadith. And I think it's valuable that we talk about it. It means as a Muslim, we should understand the things that deaden the soul. And of course, the things that keep the souls alive. From the things that deadens the soul is what? Laughter. Muchly laughing. Laughing much. Not that we should not laugh at all. I think we should give this clarification. It is not saying don't laugh. It only says reduce your laughter. Aqill al-dahik. In the second report, it says la tuksiru. Don't make it much. So it means it allows us to laugh. But don't laugh much. The second hadith was the hadith we read in the last class, the hadith of Aisha. The Prophet ﷺ would not laugh opening his mouth so much like that. He would only laugh gently. And the laughter was not something he did all the time. Otherwise, what the Prophet did most of the time ﷺ, was that he would smile. And smiling was regular on his countenance. One of the companions, one of the tabi'un simaki harp. I heard a learned person saying samak. Don't say samak. Samak is a fisherman, the man running after fish. He is simak. Simak ibn harp, radiallahu rahimahullah, was asking Jabir ibn Samurah, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akunta tujalisu rasulallah. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You used to sit in the company of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu was asked by Simak ibn Harb, Akunta tujalisu Rasulallah alayhi salatu wa salam. Did you used to sit in discussions with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam? Qala na'am. Yes, I used to sit in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa kana tawil as-samt. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana tawil as-samt. He kept quiet for a long time. He was not a talking one. So when you are in the gathering of the people, unless you are at the center of the discourse, someone is, everybody is asking you the question, then you answer. But in a general discussion with the rest of the people, don't dominate the city. When you speak, allow the rest of your brothers to speak. When you speak, listen to them and allow them to speak. This is from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Let me also say here, dear listeners, we all, as we read this book, we all, when we look at ourselves sincerely, you know you have something to adjust in your lifetime. You always know you have something to adjust. I have to adjust this about myself. And that is the meaning of being a Muslim. And in the process of adjusting, you can fall again. You stand up again. You can fall again until you become used to these noble characters that we describe of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Fakana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawila somti. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to keep quiet for a long time alayhi salatu wasalam when he was in the sitting with the people. قليل الضحك. He would only laugh قليل قليل كان قليل الضحك. He only gave laughter little when he sat with the people. So when the people sit in a discussion, they are like, ha ha ha. He would, عليه الصلاة والسلام. كان قليل الضحك. He would not be talking too much. كثير الصمت. عليه الصلاة والسلام. He kept quiet for most of the time. طويل الصمت. He kept quiet for a long time. He allowed the people to speak. And whenever anybody said something that required laughter and so on, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qaleel ad-dhahik, he would only laugh little. So laugh, but laugh little. And when you laugh, don't open the entirety of the mouth in that manner to laugh like that. The Prophet did not used to do that. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Wa kana ashabuhu yadhkuruna indahu ash-shi'ra. وأشياء من أموره. Samura ibn Jabir ibn Samura went on to describe the gatherings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Simak ibn Harb asked him, how was the gathering? When you sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did the gathering used to be alayhi salatu wasallam? So he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, he used to sit with us. He would be quiet. He would be silent. And when he needed to laugh, alayhi salatu wasallam, he will laugh only little. He said, وَكَانَ أَصْحَابُهُ يَذْكُرُونَ عِنْدَهُ أَشْعَرَ. Sometimes the companions, they will versify poems. It was a common Arab culture to say poems in gatherings. Maybe they are discussing something that happened. He said, well, that one gave a poem. They read the poem. They will give poems. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَشْيَاءَ مِنْ أُمُورِهِمْ. Sometimes people mention their personal affairs. I have a trouble with my wife. Oh, I have a trouble with my friend. Oh, I have a trouble with my brother. Oh, I have a farm. Oh, I have, just like we do in our own discussions too. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. He used to mix with them, alayhi salatu. He used to sit with them. Let me use this word. He used to gist with them. He used to talk to them. He mixed them. He mixed with them, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So Samura, Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu, he said, كَانَ أَصْحَابُهُ يَذْكُرُونَ عِنْدَهُ الشِّعْرَ وَأَشْيَاءَ مِنْ أُمُورِهِمْ فَيَدْحَقُونَ. So they will say some poems and some personal issues, personal affairs. فَيَدْحَقُونَ. And so they will laugh. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرُبَّمَا يَتَبَسَّمُ. So they will laugh. When they laugh, he too laughed. Well, he laughed only little. عليه الصلاة والسلام وربما يتبسم وهي would often only give a smile صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you have a person in any gathering, if you are 5'6", negative. And you have one of you who, yes, he's also contribution to the talk, but he allowed you to talk. He allowed the rest of the people to talk and say regarding themselves what they wanted to say in that gathering. And he will keep quiet. He will listen to them. When they said anything that required or that drew laughter, he would laugh little and keep quiet. Or he would smile and keep, he would be silent. Don't you know that this would be the most noble person in that gathering? Just take to these manners when you sit with your friends. Be the one listening to them. You say to, you talk to. But when you talk, talk little. When you smile, smile. When they laugh, ha 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 ha, only laugh little. And don't laugh opening your mouth. Everybody in that gathering will take respect you. These are the character of noble people in the society. May Allah make us benefit from this noble character. So like we said, from the points of benefit in these reports is that as Muslims, we should also seek the things that keep our souls alive. And we should avoid things that keep our souls dead. From the things that keeps the soul dead is what? Much laughter. Much laughter. When you laugh too much, you deaden your soul. And from the things that keep the soul alive is ta'at. Getting busy with acts of obedience to Allah. Like making adhkars. Listening to beneficial sermons. Sometimes people don't listen to sermons at all. When you are far away from sermons, your heart will gradually die away. When you don't listen to sermons, and so regularly, the heart will die. When you don't listen to sermons, the heart will die. When the heart becomes deadened, you begin to do things that you would initially ever, never imagine that you can do. You'll be getting to prohibitions that if you still have any life at all in that heart, you will know that I shouldn't have been here. But later on, when you still continue to become far away from listening to beneficial sermons, your soul will die. You will not see sin as anything. Sins will be normal to you. Why? You are a dead man already walking on the street. May Allah protect us from this. From the things that keep the soul alive, reciting the Quran. From the things that keep the soul alive, remaining with people who will regularly remind you about Allah. Remaining in their company. When you are laughing, shouting, enjoying yourself, gambling, hanging out, and all of this. It will tell you something that will benefit you and call you back from that forgetfulness. I think that will suffice on Hadith 253. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, La tuksiru al-dahik. Don't give too much laughter. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةُ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Because mostly laughing will destroy, to destroy the soul. So we can come to Hadith 254. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حَدَّثَنَا مُوسَى قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا الرَّبِيعُ ابْنُ مُسْلِمٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ ابْنُ زِيَادٍ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على رهط من أصحابه يضحكون ويتحدثون فقال والذي نفسي بيده لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا ثم انصرف وبكى القوم وأوحى الله إليه يا محمد لما تقنط عبادي فرجع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال أبشروا وسددوا وقاربوا. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Sheikh موسى ابن إسماعيل التبوذكي, which yet is a hadith repeated. موسى ابن إسماعيل التبوذكي is the Sheikh of الإمام البخاري in this hadith. Rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana al-Rabi'u ibn Muslim. Al-Rabi'u ibn Muslim is the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari's Shaykh, Shaykhu, Shaykh al-Bukhari. He said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Ziyad an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala kharaja an-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi وسلم على رهط من أصحابه يضحكون ويتحدثون. One day, the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام خرج على رهط من أصحابه. He came out to a number of his companions. رهط, they are a number less than 10, largely male without a female. That's the Arabic word for rahat. Largely male without a female, and they are not up to 10, around 10, anything less than 10. So these group of companions were in a discussion. Yadhakun, they were laughing, wayatahaddathu, and they were talking. As if to say they were talking and laughing. They were laughing and talking. The Prophet came up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to them, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hands my soul is. لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ لَتُحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا. If you know what I know, لَوْ تَعْلَمُ, if it were possible that you know what I know, لَتُحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا, you would only laugh little. This also shows laughing is lawful. But it's only lawful when it is little, when it is controlled, and it is not much, because when it becomes much, it will lead you to a dead heart. So this hadith, one of the proofs in it is this that we are reading. لَدُحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا. So make your laughter to be qalil. In the first hadith we read from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقِلَّ الضحك, make your laughter little. So when they were laughing and they were talking, the Prophet says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ لَدُحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا. I think he sensed that they were laughing for too long. So he came to caution them, don't laugh too much. You've been laughing all along. If you know what I know, you make your laughter to be little, not much. You'll not be laughing all the time. Some of the people can sit for 30 minutes talking and laughing. 30 minutes of your life goes for talking and laughing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to us and said, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ لَدُحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا. If you know what I mean, لَدُحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا, you would only laugh a little. This is a point of reference that a learned person, if you sit with the people and there is much of talking and laughing in that gathering, change the topic. Bring up something that will not make the people continue upon laughter. In a gathering, your brothers, you have visitors, you have friends with you. Yes, partake in the discussion with them. Participate, laugh. But don't let the discussion, the sitting, go for so long. And all that you have in that gathering is what? Laughing and talking and all of this. If they talk, you can change the topic of the discussion to something that will be beneficial. Just like the Prophet came here to tell the people, alayhi salatu salam, don't laugh too much. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ, if you know what I know. Because from the things that Allah makes the Prophet to know, alayhi salatu salam, was once that he told us about seeing people in the grave being punished. We remember that hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. It occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim. He said, these people are being punished in the grave. He used to see the people being punished. So if a man saw people being punished in the grave, when he sees people laughing, how will he feel? You are laughing. What are you laughing at? Likewise, if a person consciously remembers the day of judgment, he will not feel like it is something you have to be laughing all the time. Say, what are you laughing at? Why are you laughing? Why do you think you should be laughing? Take all the times in life to laugh. To laugh. Some people have this bad character. They laugh in every minute they are laughing. You have a dead soul. So like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ, if you know what I knew, لَتُحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا, you would have made your laughter to be little. وَلَبَقَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, you would have laughed, you would have baqayt, you would have cried and wept. He said, alayhi salam, وَلَبَقَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, you would have given too much weeping. Why will you weep? Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-a'malu bil-khawatim. What is most important about deeds are those ones that you do when you pass away, the last ones. And he had told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna ahadakum la ya'malu bi'amali ahli al-jannah. Some of you will do the good deeds of the people of al-jannah. Hatta ma yakunu baynahu wa baynaha illa zira. Such that he will be coming close to al-jannah, coming close, so close to having just an arm's length before he gets into al-jannah. Fayasbiqu alayhi al-kitab. What Allah had known regarding him, what Allah had documented regarding him, will come in front of him. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. And then he begins to do the deeds of the people of the fire, and then he'll get into the fire. Do you know your own? Do you know your own? If you are sure of your own, then you can continue to learn. But if you are not sure of your own, be scared of how will my own be? Will I end well if I'm upon? That's if you're upon righteousness now. How about when the individual is upon unrighteousness? Yet he finds it convenient to make much laughter. We are not saying don't laugh. Don't make laughter a regular practice. All the time you are laughing. In fact, even in day-to-day life, people don't take seriously a person they consider to be laugh too much. When a gathering, an elderly person was laughing. One of my cousins says, this man, why are you behaving like Baba's way? In public. Public. He said, don't behave like Baba's way here. He was an elderly person, so I was in the north. One of my cousins said, a woman too. Come here, why are you behaving like Baba's way here? So when you become muchly laughing, you laugh much, you lose dignity, you lose nobility in front of the people. In fact, you lose respect. Children begin to take you for a laughing stock. Why do you go become like this? So your soul becomes dead. When you hear sermons, you don't take to it. Because you're a dead man walking on the street. How? You are given to muchly laugh. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ. If you know what I know, لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا. You will make your laughter to be little. وَلَضَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. And you will make your weeping much. You will weep out of. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had said to us, if an eye weeps for the sake of Allah, it will not touch the fire. These are from the benefits of weeping. We literally weep with this. Even when people leave Salah, you don't hear them weeping. I have always ever said this recently. I have not prayed behind anybody and hear him weep. And it is encouraged to do so. It was a regular practice of the companions, radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, used to weep a lot. Was why when Aisha radiallahu anha was told by the Messenger alayhi salatu salam, tell Abu Bakr and Siddiq to lead the salah. Aisha was saying, radiallahu anhu, Messenger of Allah, he cries a lot. Siddiq cries a lot. You that you are far away from Siddiq, you laugh a lot. Omar radiallahu anhu, he had two lines on his face out of much weeping. It was said that if he's leading salah, those in the last row, you will be hearing Omar weeping, radiallahu anhu. We all have carry about dry faces today. All our attention is also upon social media and Facebook. Our consciousness of our end and the affairs of the day of Qiyamah that should keep us busy. These are not the things that make people become depressed now. When you are depressed because of dunya. You want something in dunya that you didn't get. Are you depressed because you feel sad that your worship is poor? Is this the reason why you are feeling sad? Many women now are starting mental health. Is your mental ill health, is it because you feel uncomfortable about your present state of worshiping Allah? Or because you feel uncomfortable about one thing you thought you should get in this dunya that you have not got? So we should change our attention. We should guide our thoughts. These are the things that should keep us busy. In the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, there's a verse similar to this. Allah says, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبُكُوا كَثِيرًا. In Surah At-Tawbah, go and check it, verse 82. Allah says, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبُكُوا كَثِيرًا. Let laugh only a little. Let them weep more. Laugh a little, weep more. Smile a lot. Laugh a little, weep more. Then smile a lot. You see that you give a balance in your life. May Allah protect each other. So the Messenger, alayhi salatu salam, summan saraha wa abka nas. Look at the companions. The Prophet went away wa abka nas. These hearts were hearts that are alive. So when the Prophet gave these few words, they started to weep. The companions, radiallahu anhu, they made impact. Someone made impact in their lives. It means that there were people who had lives, who had souls, who had hearts that were what? Alive. How do we know? Little brief sermons made great impact. If you want to know whether you have a dead heart, that is how to know. Brief sermons will make big impact in you. Brief will make big impact. If you want to know your soul is dead, very big half softeners will hardly make impact. You will not feel any impact. Just begin to know that you're already dead walking on the road because your soul is dead. May Allah protect each other. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. The companions had that big impact of that brief sermon in their hearts. And they began to weep, radiallahu anhu. And the report of Al-Imam Muslim of this hadith, it occurs in Sahih Muslim. It says, Hatta, the people wept so much. وقت أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وجوههم لهم خنيف. They wept so much that they were covering their faces because they wept the wept of khanim, weeping that brings about sound. When someone weeps and he makes sound, they were weeping like that, covering their faces. These are hearts that are alive. وَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ Allah revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, لِمَ تُقَنِّتُ عِبَادِي O Muhammad, لِمَ تُقَنِّتُ عِبَادِي Why did you make these people to lose hope now? This shows how much mercy Allah has for the companions, radiallahu anhu, and how sincerely they serve Allah. So Allah said, why did you make these people to make them lose hope? So tell them something that will bring them hope. Yes, you have called their attention away from much laughter. Tell them something again. Go back and make them happy. Faraja al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet returned to them and said, Abshiru. Ah, hear good things now. Abshiru. Take this good news from me. Take good news now. Take good news of the mercy of Allah. Allah is merciful. Yes, you are sinful, but Allah is merciful. You are fearful of the day of Qiyamah, but the gates of righteous deeds are much. So be happy. And then when you make little deeds, Allah rewards you with a lot of rewards. So be happy. Ulama say this is evidence. If you give a sermon to the people and it becomes so tough on them, don't let them go. Relax. Make them relax. Bring them down. The mind would have gone up, bring them, balance them. So I balance us to Abshiru, O brothers, be happy. Take this good information from me, that if you do two little good deeds, Allah will reward you with a lot. Start with your Rakat al-Fajr today. Didn't you see that your Rakat al-Fajr khayru min ad-dunya wa ma fiha? It has bigger rewards than, and is better than, the entirety of this world and what it contains. Is that not an effort? Is that not a good thing? Is that not a thing of hope for you? At least every day I will be earning rewards bigger than this dunya or that it contains. So you have every reason to be happy too. Bismillah. Wasaddidu waqaribu. Saddidu. Be steadfast upon righteousness. Waqaribu. Adjust yourself. Be fast. Be steadfast. Saddidu, be steadfast, have istiqama upon goodness. Waqaribu, adjust your good deeds. Adjust your deeds. Qaribu, adjust your deeds. When you are failing, adjust. So I say to us, oh brothers and sisters, yes, take this good news. لكن سدده be steadfast وقاربه adjust yourself if you have faults go back and correct them we all have faults I should go back see to my faults and adjust hoping that Allah will be merciful to me and I also hope that Allah will be merciful to all of us I think it will suffice here today regarding the issues of laughter that the Sharia allows us to laugh but it discourages us from laughing muchly prohibits us from much laughter because when you laugh much you destroy your soul so laugh only little the prophet says sallallahu alaihi wa sallam aqill ad-dahik make your laughter make it little elsewhere it says la tukthiru ad-dahik don't laugh muchly don't give too muchly laughing don't laugh all the time ka, ka, ka. And then we had read hadith where the prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam where he was described not to be a person who would laugh and have the entirety of the inner parts of the mouth opening up. The Prophet was not like that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today. The next topic is another noble character of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا أَقْبَلَ أَقْبَلَ جَمِيعًا وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَ أَدْبَرَ جَمِيعًا When the Prophet approached, when the Prophet came in front, أَقْبَلَ جَمِيعًا He came, he faced you, and when he turned completely. So he was either turning completely, alayhi salatu wasalam, or turning away completely. He would not turn lightly, turning his side to the people who talked to him. He did not used to do that, alayhi salatu wasalam. That is the next chapter that we'll be discussing, and that is followed by Babu al-Mustashar or al-Mustasharu Mu'tamar. If your brother seeks advice from you, Mu'tamar, you that is seeking advice from you, he has placed an amana in your hands. Al-Mustasharu Mu'tamar, the one who is asked for advice. Mu'tamar, he is giving amana, he is giving a trust, he is entrusted. Bismillah, we'll come to these reports in our next class tomorrow, inshallah. If we have a few questions that we can address, we can discuss them about Yusuf.
جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخ.
آمين وأنتم فجزاكم الله خيرا أبا عامر.
So the first question here is, with this, what's the ruling about comedy shows? Some health specialists claim that laughter is good for the health. As a way of relaxing the muscles of the face and other nerves used for laughter.
Well, I have also come across those kinds of reports from people, but smiling and little laughter will suffice for the Muslim. Smiling and little laughter, as we have described, will suffice. Abu Amir, smiling. Muchly smiling, the Prophet used to smile, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companion said, one of them said, I never saw anyone smiling much more like the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was always smiling. He gave a smiley face. This is what I think those people even mean. Those who say the muscles of the face will be relaxed. When you smile, the muscles of the face are relaxed. So what they mean is within the limits of the Sharia, it will be accommodated in at-tabassum. Smiling, it will also be accommodated in lightly laughing. What they describe will not bring benefit to us if we are given to the muchly laughter as we had described in this class. I hope it is clear.
Another one here is that I easily weep thinking about my bad deeds and listen to sermons. But yet I still go back to the bad deeds within a short period of time. That makes me feel like a hypocrite. That's the question.
I think what you need to do is don't stop at the weeping. Yes, an-nadamatu tawbah. The Prophet said it, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that hadith, yakbalu tahsin. That hadith will accept that it is hasan. Some of the scholars of hadith read it weak. But the hadith, yakbalu tahsin, as they say, it is acceptable to say that hadith is hasan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An nadamatu tawba," regret is from is a major aspect of repentance. It is the regret that brings the individual to weep when he commits a sin. The regret brings him to weep when he commits a sin. So you are just at one of the four or five stages of seeking repentance. The first stage is that you go al-iklaa' al-dhanb. You go away from the sin, move away from the sin. Then an-nadamu ala ma fata. You regret over what had gone past. The third one, you now make genuine al-azmu, Allah ya'uda ila zambi. You make a decision never to return to the sin. You see now. So you need to move a person who weeps. He goes away from the sin immediately, and then he begins to weep. These are first two levels. The next level that person needs to go to is to decide never to return to the sin. And from never returning to the sin is that you move away from the people and the place where the sin becomes committed. You move away from the people. You move away from the place that makes you commit that sin. You move away from the people. You move away from the place where you commit the sin. So these are things you need to add to. You need to add to what you regret about committing sins. From that also is that you relate with people who will help you away from the sin. You relate with the people who, when you are in their company, when you are in their company, it is easy for you to avoid that sin. When you are in their company, you hardly fall into that sin. So keep that kind of a company for yourself. So these are the kinds of advices. Then make much of good deeds. Engage your time in much good deeds. The ulama, when they explain that inna salata tanha al-fahsha'i wal-munkar, salah prohibits you from al-fahsha, indecent and obnoxious practice. They explain that as one of the explanations that has been given is that if you spend 15 minutes on salah, for those 15 minutes you will not be on sin. That 15 minutes, salah has covered the sin that you have been committing. Okay, so if you are regular, before Salatul Fajr, you make 2 minutes of prayers. Then you make Salatul Fajr. You make Salatul Duha of 12 rakats, or 8 rakats, or 10 rakats, as is easy for you, or even 2 rakats. You make 4 rakats before Zuhur. You make Salatul Zuhur. You make 4 rakats after Zuhur. You make 4 or 2 rakats before Asr. After Salatul Asr, immediately after, before the sun turns reddish, you make 2 units. You make 2 units before Salatul Maghrib. You make 2 units after Maghrib. You make 2 units before Isha. You make 2 units after Isha. You wake up 11 rakats of Qiyamul Layl, and you are fasting on that day. What time do you have for sin? So busy your time with acts of righteousness. And I add to this, from the things that you must avoid and only do little in our times, if you want to be able to keep away from sins, is avoid the social media. Avoid. If you want to keep away from sins in these times of ours, make your participation, make your reading, make your having anything to do with the social media to be very, very little and controlled, little time. You only do, you read the newspapers, you have people to talk to, you have messages to send, you have questions to answer. Respond to them and go away. If you become so obsessed with social media, it will deaden your heart too. You'll be on and off in terms of things and indices. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think these pieces of advice will be beneficial to me and then to the rest of us, and then specifically to the brother or sister who had asked the question. Allahu Akbar.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah khair.
Ameen wa
sallam.
Ameen wa
sallam. Is laughing and playing with children, making them feel comfortable around you, carrying them up and also carrying them up, also considered part of laughing too much?
Is what?
Is playing, laughing with children and playing with children, making them feel comfortable around you, carrying them up, Is that also considered part of laughing too much or being unserious?
Yeah, it could be, and it may not. Smiles and little laughter are the keys we need to hold in this discussion. Keep to smiling. You should smile to the key. Teach them what the Messenger alayhi salatu salam has done. That is when you are a good person. You are not necessarily a good person when you laugh with everybody and open your mouth. Ha ha ha. That's not an indicator for a good person. Islam has made us know that when the person is given too much laughter and then he opens his mouth when he's laughing, it does not indicate that you're a good person. Know that on your hand. The meaning of what we have done today is that when you laugh too much, and you laugh so much that all your mouth is opened, that is not a good person. So maintain the limit. Smile to the children. The Messenger used to smile and play with children. Alayhi salatu salam. Anas ibn Malik, al-Imam al-Tirmizi mentions a hadith in Shama'i. He says, in kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yukhalitu. The Messenger used to mix with us. Wa kana yal'abu ma'a akhin liya sagirin. He used to play with one of my brothers, young. He would say, Ya Aba Umair, Ma Fa'ala Zugair. Oh, Abu Umair, what is happening to your bed? He can play with them. And yet the Messenger alayhi salatu salam is described as Qalil al-Dahik. He would smile, he would laugh only little. So all of this, being friendly with children, does not make you become another Baba Suwe, as we say. So let's keep to these limits. The limits of the Sharia is smile much. Smile all the time. When you smile, you give sadaqah to the children. But as for laughter, and we know the difference between the two, this is what much of laughter we should avoid. So if you laugh a little and smile much, you still pass the message to the children, and you will not be destroying yourself in the process, thinking that you are making children happy. You are teaching them bad lessons. May Allah protect us from that. I hope that it is clear about Amir.
Amen. Yes. Exactly.
I mean, what?
Yes,
okay. Can we make the last question today?
Inshallah. So, although no. you
that is the hadith there, right? Abu Amir.
No, yes, sir.
You have a question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go on. But I say hadith, I think, is good that we clarify. After your question, then I'll clarify that hadith. And we call it again.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah.
I mean,
although you mentioned it in the class, but
it kept coming in. How can you revive a dead heart?
I think we mentioned a few things regarding that. Reviving the dead heart. Keep to ta'at. Keep to good deeds of obedience. Keep to it. Keep to people who give good deeds of obedience. Don't leave them. You may find fault with them. They have faults. They have human failings, as you have to. But keep to them, don't leave them. People who are given to ta'at, who are given to acts of obedience, keep with them, keep a company. Allah commands us to do that. He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. Fear Allah and keep in the company of those who are truthful to faith. Keep the company of good people. Then reciting the Quran. This is one thing we are far away from in our generation. Reading the Quran. Studying the Quran. Many of the scholars who pass away, when they ask them, what do you think you would have done more, you would have spent your time more on? Many of them used to say, I would have read more Quran. Despite the fact that they would have read more Quran, they would still say, I wish I paid more attention again to the Quran. So pay attention to the Quran, read the Quran, study the Quran, listen to the Quran. Don't have times in your life where you become disconnected from the Quran. Make the Quran a part and parcel of you. Know it so much that you are just there with it. You'll find a lot of healthy mind and healthy lifestyle. From that is also dua. Ikhwa, we don't make dua. We don't make dua. And it means it shows how far away we are with our Lord. In the last verse of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah says, "Kul ma ya'ba'u bikum rabbi lawla du'a'ukum." Say to them, O Muhammad, "Ma ya'ba'u bikum rabbi." My Lord has nothing to care about you. You amount to nothing before Allah. Lawla du'a'ukum, if not that you make dua. Those who don't make dua, they don't amount to anything. Seek dua, make dua. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, make my soul be alive. The messenger used to make that dua. Allahumma ya mufaddik al-kulub, sabbit qalbi ala tu'atik. Beg Allah, Allah, keep my mind firm. Wake up in the night. You are begging dua. When in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Allah commanded the Prophet regarding some of the companions. He says, go to them. If you go read the books of Tafsir, there's an affair regarding that. Some of the companions used to stay in the masjid. You know what they are saying? What they are doing? They are just saying, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. What are they making this zikr for? That Allah guided them onto Islam. They see the value. They were upon shirk. فَجَاءَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Then Allah brought them with this goodness of Tawheed. So when they see that I was worshipping a stone. So this stone is so useless, it cannot bring any benefit to me. Recognizing this value of Tawheed, they went to sit down in the masjid to be saying, Alhamdulillah. Have you sat down, oh brother, to think about the value of your being a Muslim and the fact that it's a favor of Allah upon you? How many people have sought the kind of guidance that you have in Islam? They didn't get it. Do you know that it's a favor from Allah? So they sit down in the masjid begging Allah, thanking him for this favor. Allah told the Prophet, those people, alayhi salam, keep their company. Keep their company. They want the good face of Allah. They are begging Allah, making dua. There are a lot of ahadith regarding this. Companions were used to making dua. One of the scholars recently, Sheikh Abdul Salam ibn Muhammad Ashwayr, he mentioned it as the two major things to earn the pleasure of Allah. Keeping to the Quran and making dua. Dua. Begging Allah, Allah, forgive me. Allahumma anta rabbi. La ilaha illa anta. Khalaqtani. وأنا عبدك وأنا على أهلك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوه لك بنعمتك علي وأبوه بذنبي اغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Think about the meaning of this dua. Keep to it. Make a lot of dua. Beg Allah for yourself. If you ask our own older parents, they will tell you that they paid attention to begging Allah in the middle of the night because they want Allah to protect their children and make them from the Imam of the Muslims. Parents were busy with that. They did a lot of sadaqat regarding their children. Oh Allah, this child, they are making sadaqah, seeking means of nearness to Allah so that their dua over you will be answered. We don't even make dua for ourselves. God bless us making dua for our children. One of the tabi'un was reported to be staying long in the night. His child was sleeping. So when he made taslim, he touched the boy and said, "Wait, you see this, my long standing qiyamul layl? It is because of you. I'm begging Allah for you." We don't even beg Allah for ourselves. So let us be engaged in making a lot of dua, genuinely seeking and asking, directing our weakness to Allah, showing that we are weak, asking for his help and his support, asking for his blessings and his barakat, and waiting to see what he will do and grant us from this goodness that we ask for. So these are some of the things that we should do in Allah. Allah will grant us a mind that is healthy and safe. There's a hadith here that I think, like I said, Abu Amir, are you there?
No, ya Sheikh, yes.
There's a hadith that says that Messenger, alayhi salatu salam, sometimes you find in one hadith, he laughed and then we saw his mullahs. That does not contradict the basic rule about laughing little. He did that only little. If you want to bring it in harmony to the narrations that we have read, He did that only a little. And laughter means the mouth is open more than when you smile. So when he opens his mouth, and for the companions, they want to see his mouth. So they are quick to see those things. So it doesn't mean that he was laughing. And it didn't mean that all the time he was laughing. But those times when he laughed, the laughter may be such that you see his molars. I hope that it is clear. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أستغفر وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته